Well, today's feast day is a bit of an oddity. Today we celebrate the solemnity of the Nativity of St. John the Baptist. It always falls on June 24th, and this year the 24th is on a Sunday. And it's one of the few saint feast days that actually trumps the normal Sunday celebration. It only falls on Sunday once every several years, so it's a bit rare just on that account. But it's also very, very rare to celebrate a saint's birthday. Because from a theological perspective, it doesn't make much sense to celebrate a saint's birthday because just like us, they're born into this world in need of redemption. So normally saints' feast days are celebrated on the day of their death because that's after they've been redeemed, after they've grown in holiness throughout their life, and it's the day of their being born into eternal life in heaven. So for instance, later this summer we'll celebrate St. John's day of death, or at least we'll celebrate it on August 29th, the feast of his passion and martyrdom. That should be an encouragement to you, by the way. If you're not only a saint, but a massively influential saint, you might get not just one, but two different feast days. So keep that in mind, something to shoot for. So it's a bit odd that today we celebrate the birth of St. John the Baptist. And the reason for this is that St. John was given a special grace. As the early church fathers taught, St. John the Baptist was sanctified, cleansed of original sin, in the womb, even before birth. We learn about this from Scripture, from St. Luke's Gospel, shortly before our passage from today, at the Visitation. So Mary has just found out that she'll be the mother of Jesus, and that her cousin Elizabeth is also pregnant, even though she was thought barren. So Mary goes to help her, and Elizabeth says, "As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leapt for joy." The infant John leaping for joy that Jesus, also in the womb, is approaching. The traditional and very early interpretation for that is that John was cleansed from original sin, that he was saved and sanctified at that very moment. It's even more explicit from the words of the angel to Zechariah when he first tells Zechariah that he will have a son, that his prayer has been answered. The angel says, "He will be great before the Lord, and he shall drink no wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb." That's why we have that language in our first reading. "The Lord called me from birth, from my mother's womb, he gave me my name." There's a couple of other similar references in the first reading and the psalm. Okay, so St. John was sanctified and filled with the Holy Spirit even before birth. That's great. But that also might be another thing that might make this day feel a little bit odd. Because normally, if we have a day to celebrate someone, we're celebrating what that person did, you know, their great accomplishments in life. But with St. John the Baptist, if you think about it, he hasn't done anything yet. He's just been born. You know, we'll have his day of his death to celebrate all that later, but right now he's just been born. The focus is all on what has been done to him and for him. How he's been sanctified in the womb by Christ, saved, freed from original sin, filled with the Holy Spirit. The amazing circumstances surrounding his birth, his annunciation by the angel when his father's offering incense in the temple, his father's doubt of the angel's word and being struck mute in punishment for 9 months, and then in our gospel today being healed as he signals his obedience to the angel's command to name him John. The mere fact, at least semi-miraculous, that John was conceived and born at all to an elderly and barren couple. John will go on to do great things. He certainly is a great saint. But today, we're not celebrating what he's done as much as what's been done to him and for him, the graces that he's received. And while that might strike us, some of us, as odd, it actually fits very well with the Christian life. See, the Christian life isn't so much about what we do as about what God has done to us and for us. How he's redeemed us from sin, how he has taught us, how he's loved us so much that he came down to live with us in the flesh, in his incarnation, in Jesus Christ. How he's left us a church, his mystical body, to give us food in the sacraments, teaching in his word through the scripture and the teachings of his body, the church. Of course, his supreme gift to us, his passion and death on the cross. Our Christian life isn't so much about what we do as about receiving what God has done for us. Similarly, our patron, Mary, Our Lady of Grace, is not so much celebrated for what she did as for what was done to her and for her. How God preserved her free of original sin from the first moment of her conception. How God chose her to be the mother of his only begotten son. How Mary was assumed body and soul into heaven and crowned as queen of heaven and earth. All this Mary did not do, she received. Mary's actions, her free choices, they are included in this. Her fiat, her yes to being the mother of Jesus, and her yes of cooperation with God's graces throughout her life, these are greatly important. But even with this, Mary is not the main actor, not the first actor. Her actions and free choices are always a response to God's prior action, a willing consent and cooperation with what God is already doing. The emphasis is on God's action. All this should be a lesson for us. You know, in our American culture, we value action. You know, we like being active, productive, efficient. We love to be independent and in control. We like to be the ones that are making the biggest difference. We like to earn things, and we don't like, or at least we tend to not value as much, what we receive. Think about it. We like when others recognize our achievements. We don't like it as much if others find out that we needed some help or that we received help. We get awkward sometimes when someone offers to help us with something important. No thanks, I can manage. Even if the other person knows very well that you can manage by yourself, but they just wanted to do something nice for you as a gift. But we like to take care of ourselves, and we like to keep the focus on what we do. Partly this is our American culture, partly it's just human nature, and it does serve us decently well in many practical matters. But somewhere where this attitude can really get in the way of our growth is in our spiritual life, in our relationship with God. Because if we think of our spiritual life as primarily something that we do, then we're not going to make as much progress, and we're going to miss out on so much that the Lord wants to give us. Because with the Lord, it's all about what we receive. We don't earn things with the Lord. You can't earn anything from him, ultimately. Everything is a gift of love. And we don't earn love. You can't earn love. You can only receive it. We're free to reject it, and so we do need to make the effort to accept God's gifts. And we do strive to act morally, and we can merit in some way. But all of this is with the help of God's grace, freely given. As Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches, and without me you can do nothing. Just like with Mary and just like with St. John the Baptist, the primacy is not on what we do, but on what God does for us. And on us receiving that. Well then, what do we do? If Christianity isn't about our actions, if our spiritual life isn't about our achievements, what do we do? Well, we do what today's feast day is all about, celebrating and giving thanks for what God has done. When the Lord gives us something, our part is to be grateful, to give thanks. And the Lord has given us so much. Forgiveness, Jesus Christ present with us here in the Eucharist, his love and care for us throughout our life, the particular blessings that he's given us, our families, our careers, our friends, small things, big things, even ultimately our very being. The fact that we exist at all is a gift that we receive from God, our Creator. For all of this, for all that God has done, we give thanks. All that we do for him in this life, our good works, our striving to love our brothers and sisters, all that should flow from this gratitude for God. And the place where we give that thanks most fully is here at the Mass. The Mass is the supreme act of gratitude. We praise and thank God in the songs, in the readings, in the Gloria. At Mass, we pray in the preface dialogue every Mass, let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and just. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere, to give you thanks. And then most especially in the Eucharist, which is the perfect offering of gratitude. That's what the Mass is. It's not primarily a booster for us, for strength, so that we can go out and do things, although it is that. We do receive strength. It's not primarily about the gathered community, though we are very grateful that the Lord has saved us in community. It's not primarily a time of teaching, though hopefully we do learn from God's word. But primarily, it's an act of gratitude, a sacrifice of thanks and praise for all that God has done for us and is doing for us. That's why it's no accident that the word Eucharist literally means thanksgiving. That expresses the heart of what we do at Mass and the heart of our life as Christians, as men and women redeemed by Christ Jesus. So my brothers and sisters, may St. John the Baptist and may Mary, Our Lady of Grace, teach us how to receive the good things of the Lord with gratitude. And together with them, let us offer to the Lord our sacrifice of praise and thanks.